Peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel appointed for this first Sunday after Easter Day, the 20th chapter of St. John, the 19th and 20th verses. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. This morning we continue to rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. We sing the Easter hymns, we pray the Easter prayers, and the Easter candle, the Paschal candle, burns as a symbol of the risen Lord. And in that candle, the five red wax nails remind us of the scars still to be seen in the body of the risen Lord. We also rejoice this morning in remembering one of the most faithful members of our Savior congregation, James Gray, who for so many years lovingly cared for the altar of this church. And after this divine service of word and sacrament, we will be rededicating the sacristy, the place where the altar paraments and vestments and vessels for the altar are kept. We are going to rededicate that in memory of James Gray. And it's very fitting that we do that, since it was in that room that he spent so many hours preparing the vessels and the paraments for the altar of God in this church. At the end of this service, we are also going to sing one of Mr. Gray's favorite hymns, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," a hymn that we normally sing usually on Reformation Day, since it, of course, is one of the great hymns written by Dr. Luther. It may seem a bit strange to be singing that in this Easter season, but it really isn't, because the theme of that great hymn is the victory of Christ over sin and death and the devil. With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected, but for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there is none other God. He holds the field forever. The victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death and the devil. In today's gospel, we hear of how the risen Lord came to his disciples, hiding behind locked doors as they were, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Thomas was not with them. But 8 days later, this day, Jesus again appears to his disciples and says to doubting Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side." And Thomas replied, my Lord and my God. It was the sight of the wounds which identified the risen Lord as the same Lord Jesus the disciples had known. And today's gospel invites us to gaze steadily at the wounds of Jesus. But before we gaze at Jesus' wounds, we need to take a look at our own. Because every human being, without exception, is wounded, bearing in our souls and bodies the wounds of sin. That mysterious wound of original sin, the inheritance of every child of Adam. And then those sins which flow from original sin, whereby we wound others, and yes, we wound ourselves. Our wounds as individuals and our wounds as the church are painful and they are real. And so as we sit in church on this spring morning, listening to the amazing story told in the words of the liturgy and in song, we perhaps find ourselves wondering how we can reclaim the Easter gladness of the disciples, the ultimately confident and sure faith of so-called doubting Thomas, that great joy which marked the life of the earliest Christians. Listen again to the words of the gospel just read. Then the disciples were glad when they saw themselves, certainly not, nor can we be glad when we see only ourselves, our own wounds, and the church's wounds by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. The littleness of our faith, the coldness of our love, our all too frequent buying into the apathy and despair of this confused and confusing age. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, the risen Lord with his wounds, the marks of the nails and the spear. Seeing those wounds mattered supremely. For it was those wounds which convinced the disciples that the one standing before them in resurrection glory was the very same Lord Jesus who'd loved them though unworthy, whose forgiveness they'd received, and whose resurrection demonstrated that the forgiveness he offered is in truth the forgiveness of God. In raising Jesus from the dead, God the Father vindicated Jesus' every claim. He established beyond doubt the truthfulness of Jesus' every word. For the sins which Jesus bore were not his but ours. And in raising Jesus from the dead, the Father therefore absolved him not of his sins, for he had none, but of our sins which he bore as the innocent Lamb of God, who himself bears the sin of the whole world. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is God the Father's clear word of forgiveness pronounced on the whole sinful world. As St. John Chrysostom says in his wonderful Easter sermon, let no one lament his transgressions, for pardon has dawned from the tomb. All this the wounds in the body of the risen Lord declare, and so the wounds are cause for joy, and through the Holy Cross, joy has come into all the world. Seeing the Lord Jesus in his resurrection glory, St. Thomas could only acclaim him my Lord and my God. Jesus is in truth our heavenly Lord, the one through whom all things were made, the one who upholds the universe by his word of power, the one who with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever shares the glory of the eternal Trinity. But those scars, those wounds, still to be seen in his risen body, tell us that he yet remains our human brother who knows all our weakness and loves us still. As Charles Wesley sings, those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exultation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. And to our risen Lord, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.